Next, I called Kirk Pinchley.
You talked with Kirk Pinchley?
Yes.
Jesus, Richard.
What, you think he wouldn't take a call from a cheap hood like me?
Ginelli managed to sound both wounded and amused at the same time.
He took it, believe me. Of course I called on my credit card. He wouldn't want my name on his phone bill, that much is true. But I've done a lot of business with your firm over the years, William.
That's news to me, Billy said. I thought it was just that one time.
That time everything could be out in the open, and you were just right for it, Ginelli said. Pinchley and his big stud lawyer partners would never have stuck you into something crooked, William. You were a comer. On the other hand, I suppose they knew you'd be meeting me sooner or later if you hung around long enough in the firm, and that first piece of work would be a good introduction. Which it was, for me as well as for you, believe me. And if something went wrong, if our business that time had happened to turn the wrong corner or something, you could have been sacrificed. They wouldn't have liked to do it, but their view is better to sacrifice a comer than a genuine bull stud lawyer. These guys all see the same. They are very predictable.
What other kind of business have you done with my firm? Billy asked, frankly fascinated. This was a little like finding out your wife had been cheating on you long after you had divorced her for other reasons.
Well, all kinds, and not exactly with your firm. Let's say they have brokered legal business for me and a number of my friends, and leave it at that. Anyway, I know Kirk well enough to call him and ask for a favor, which he granted.
What favor?
I asked him to call this Barton bunch and tell them to lay off for a week. Lay off you and lay off the gypsies. I'm actually more concerned about the gypsies, you want to know the truth. We can do this, William. But it'll be easier if we don't have to chase them from hoot to holler and back to fucking hoot again.
You called Kirk Pinchley and told him to lay off? Billy said, bemused.
No, I called Kirk Pinchley and told him to tell the Barton agency to lay off, Ginelli corrected. And not exactly in those words, either. I can be a little bit political when I have to be, William. Give me some credit.
Man, I give you a lot of credit. More every minute.
Well, thank you. Thank you, William. I appreciate that.
He lit a cigarette.
Anyway, your wife and her doctor friend will continue to get reports, but they'll be a little bit off. I mean, they'll be like the National Enquirer and Reader's Digest version of the truth. Do you dig what I'm saying?
Billy laughed.
Yeah, I see. So, we got a week, and a week should be enough.
What are you going to do?
All you'll let me do, I guess. I'm going to scare them, William. I'm going to scare him. I'm going to scare him so bad he's going to need to put a fucking Delco tractor battery in his pacemaker. And I'm going to keep raising the level of the scares until one of two things happen. Either he's going to cry uncle and take off what he put on you, or we decide he don't scare that old man. If that happens, I come back to you and ask if you have changed your mind about hurting people. But maybe it won't go that far.
How are you going to scare him? Ginelli touched the shopping bag with the toe of one bally boot and told him how he meant to start. Billy was appalled. Billy argued with Ginelli, as he had foreseen. Then he talked with Ginelli, as he had also foreseen, and although Ginelli never raised his voice, his eyes continued to whirl and twirl with that mad light, and Billy knew he might as well have been talking to the man in the moon. And as the fresh pain in his hand slowly subsided to the former throbbing ache, he began to feel sleepy again.
"When are you going?" he asked, giving up.
Ginelli glanced at his watch.
10 past 10 now. I'll give them another 4 or 5 hours. They've been doing a good little business out there from what I heard downtown. Telling a lot of fortunes. And the dogs, those pit bulls. Christ almighty. The dogs you saw weren't pit bulls, were they?
I never saw a pit bull, Billy said sleepily. The ones I saw all looked like hounds.
Pit bulls look like a cross between terriers and bulldogs. They cost a lot of dough. If you want to see pit bulls fight, you gotta agree to pay for one dead dog before the wagers even get put down. It's one nasty business. They're into all the classy stuff in this town, ain't they, William? Ferrari sunglasses, dope boats, dogfights. Oh, sorry. And tarot and the I Ching.
Be careful, Billy said.
I'll be careful, Janelli said. Don't worry.
Billy fell asleep shortly after. When he woke up, it was 10 minutes until 4, and Janelli was gone. He was seized with the certainty that Janelli was dead. But Janelli came in at 5:45, so fully alive that he seemed somehow too big for the place. His clothes, face, and hands were splattered with mud that reeked of sea salt. He was grinning. That crazy light danced in his eyes.
William, he said, we're going to pack your things and move you out of Bar Harbor, just like a government witness going to a safe house.
Alarmed, Billy asked, what did you do?
Take it easy, take it easy. Just what I said I was going to do, no more and no less. But when you stir up a hornet's nest with a stick, it's usually a good idea to flog your dogs on down the road afterward, William, don't you think so?
Yes, but no time now. I can talk and pack your stuff at the same time.
Where?
Billy almost wailed.
Not far. I'll tell you on the way. Now let's get going. And maybe you better start by changing your shirt. You're a good man, William, but you're starting to smell a little ripe.
Billy had started up to the office with his key when Janelli touched him on the shoulder and gently took it out of his hand.
I'll just put this on the night table in your room. You checked in with a credit card, didn't you?
Yes, but...
Then we'll just make this sort of an informal checkout. No harm done. Less attention attracted to us guys. Right?
A woman jogging by on the berm of the highway looked casually at them, back at the road, and then her head snapped back in a wide-eyed double-take that Janelli saw, but Billy mercifully missed.
I'll even leave 10 bucks for the maid, Janelli said. We'll take your car. I'll drive.
Where's yours? He knew Janelli had rented one, and was now realizing belatedly that he hadn't heard an engine before Janelli walked in. All of this was going too fast for Billy's mind. He couldn't keep up with it.
It's okay. I left it on a back road about 3 miles from here and walked. Pulled the distributor cap and left a note on the windshield saying I was having engine trouble and would be back in a few hours, just in case anybody should get nosy. I don't think anyone will. There was grass growing up in the middle of the road, you know?
A car went by. The driver got a look at Billy Halleck and slowed down.